Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
All righty, rocking and rolling. Hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show. But where else? CBS Sports Radio. So what's the next big news item to fall? You know, it's kind of crazy. Like, Quinn Ewers announcing he's coming back to Texas doesn't even really do much. Like, Dan Lanning, who I love, saying that he's not going to Alabama and he's staying at Oregon. Like, that's not even a top 3 news story from what we've had this week. With Pete Carroll basically being fired as the head coach of the Seahawks. Nick Saban walking away from Alabama and retiring. And then you get Bill Belichick today basically getting canned as the head coach of the New England Patriots. So, wow, wow, wow. You know, Santa, you've done this for a long time. I could never remember a time when you're just talking about coaches or even like trades and things like that. Like even the start of free agencies where you know that's when it's open and guys are going to be going off the board where you've had 3 enormous names, like 3 legendary names where Belichick's been the greatest name maybe of all time in the sport from a coaching perspective, certainly the last 20 years in the NFL. Saban is the greatest college coach of all time. 7 national championships, 6 at Alabama. And then it's like Pete Carroll, who has won a national championship in college and then has won a Super Bowl in the NFL. His news goes all the way to the back of the line because of the 2 guys that are in front of him in Belichick and Saban. It's really just a crazy world and a crazy time that the last 24 hours have been. It's really remarkable that in less than 24 hours, Carroll gone as the coach of the Seahawks, Saban out at Alabama retiring, and then also Bill Belichick out as the head coach of the Patriots. It's crazy.
I can't remember a news cycle like this. I mean, last year we had Brady retire in February. Russ Wilson was traded.
And Aaron that was 2 years ago, Russell.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Maybe it was like the first Brady retirement. Okay. And then Russell Wilson was traded right back to back. Last year, Russell Wilson was traded. And then Brady retired again. And then Aaron Rodgers was traded. It feels like there's been some news cycles that have had a few things, but not like this. Not like one after another after another after another.
You couldn't even breathe and appreciate what Pete Carroll did in Seattle until you get on the microphone yesterday and go, oh, Saban's out of Alabama. And it's like, oh, so much for Pete Carroll. And then you had Saban rip the mic from Pete Carroll. And then today, Robert Kraft ripped the mic from Saban.
Here's a question. Do you think that the Patriots were going to make the announcement yesterday and then, out of respect for Saban, that just came down sooner, so they were like, all right, let's hold off?
No, I think that there was a lot of delicate conversations that were happening because you have someone in Belichick who's so steadfast in one way, and then you have Robert Kraft, who like kind of gets forgotten, is also a legend here, right? It's always Belichick and Brady. Like, Robert Kraft is also one of the greatest owners we've ever seen in the NFL. The guy goes from being a fan used to having tickets for the Patriots and taking them over. They were a horrible franchise and winning 6 Super Bowls in them and making them not only one of the biggest brands in the NFL, but one of the biggest and most lucrative brands in sports. And I do believe that there were conversations. And remember, you got like these guys have had a relationship for more than just 24 years. You know, I was told this 7-8 years ago that as long as Robert Kraft was the point guy in New England, Bill Belichick would be the head coach, And then when Jonathan took over, that's when, like, and Jonathan really became the face, too. That's when Jonathan, not that they had a bad relationship or anything, that's when Bill would think that he could go because of the loyalty they have for one another. Like, they knew each other before Belichick became the head coach, and he tried to get him to be the head coach, right? He's the Jets, and then the whole fax situation with Parcells and all that, and that's why Parcells and Bill didn't talk for all those years. So I think it was just the mutual respect between the two. I don't know how amicable it was because Bill still wanted to coach. Kraft didn't think it could work. I think they tried to talk it through for the respect that they had for each other the last 2 days. And ultimately, Robert had to drop the hammer here. Hey, it's just not going to work. Like, this idea that Bill was open to giving up player personnel, like duties, whoever you bring in, whether Bill knows him or not, he's not going to respect him. And the moment that guy doesn't give Bill what he wants, Bill's going to tune that guy out, and it would have been just a disaster situation this upcoming year. And also, Bill's 71. It was time. It was time to move on. This is not a quick fix. This is a 3-year rebuild. Year one, whoever the new coach is, no expectations. Wash year. Year two, improve. Then year three, go contend for a playoff spot. That's the format that I lay out here. So it's just, it's really wild. And I think this is something I said in the moment yesterday. Because when that news broke, getting back to Pete Carroll, there was a belief that, oh, Pete's going to be there next year. And Pete's going to be in the front office in some capacity. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. Because, like, we knew the Belichick news was coming. The Saban stuff, it surprised people. But I think people realized this year this guy wasn't going to go coach for another 6 to 10 years. I didn't think he was on the 18th hole walking into the clubhouse. I thought he was on hole like 16 or 17 walking up the fairway on one of those holes. But when it came to Pete Carroll, when he's on a Seattle radio station on Monday saying he's going to coach, it just felt unnecessary that he needed to say that. I know there's some people speculating that maybe he's not going to coach as long as what we thought. But no one, at least in my opinion, like the way that I viewed it, I didn't think that Pete Carroll was in danger of losing his job. I thought he'd be able to go out on his own terms. But that's not the way that they operated that in Seattle. So let me play you this audio. Because this is from the Pete Carroll press conference yesterday. Pete Carroll made it clear that he fought to keep his job as a Seahawks coach, with ultimately he lost.
I competed pretty hard to be the coach, just so you know, because I just wanted to make sure that I stood up for all of our coaches and the players and the things that we had accomplished, not so that we could be the coach still, but so that we could continue to have a chance to be successful and keep the organization going. That's what I was fighting for. In that regard, that was what I was representing in our discussions. And we got to a good part, a good clean spot where it made sense, and I went along with their intentions.
See, he went along with it. See, there's sometimes people tell you things are amicable and you know they're not amicable. But then the person that is getting the short end of the stick or is getting pretty much replaced or fired, whether you see it or not, like whether you can make sense of it or not, they'll just put on a good front because of the relationships that they had in the past and they still value those. That's what Pete Carroll did yesterday. Yeah, this guy crying at the podium yesterday. He didn't want to lose his job as the head coach. He thought he should still be the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. And quite frankly, I agree with him. I don't think Seattle should have moved on from him. And you're going to bring in Dan Quinn, who's deserving of a second opportunity, is a fine head coach, was a good head coach in Atlanta. But you don't have to make this move. I thought he deserved another year to figure this out. Because last year, no one thought they would have been as good as they were. And this year, they regressed. But he should have got one more year where it was 1 year overachieved, another year underachieved. If he underachieved again, okay. You're out. We told you. You had to get the job done this year. You didn't do that. Then you're gone. But I am wondering, will Pete coach somewhere next year? I think he wants to. And he's 72. Maybe he recharges the batteries and then hits the ground running a year from now. But I don't really expect him to be all that active in the Seahawks organization moving forward. At least just by the tone of that press conference. Hey, Stu, let me ask you this. Because for the last month and a half, we've been pretty much in lockstep here, where we've both said when it comes to the Raiders job, the only person you would hire, which would mean Antonio Pierce wouldn't get the job, is Jim Harbaugh. And we've both been in agreement with that. Would you be interested in Pete Carroll as the next coach of the Raiders?
I would. I would still put him probably behind Pierce and Harbaugh only because of the age.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd kind of be more of a short-term move, and they probably need something that's a little long-term, I would say. But it's definitely intriguing. I definitely think he's still a top 5, 6, 7 coach in the league. So from that point of view, why not?
And then you also wonder, too, can Carroll and Belichick becoming available maybe change the path for Harbaugh? Because I think Harbaugh wants to go back to the NFL. He just won in college. I know what the NCAA president said today, how he doesn't view this Michigan championship as tainted. They did it right the right way and all that stuff. And we saw that with the results after the scandal where they beat Penn State, they beat Ohio State, you know, sandwich Maryland in between if you want. Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, and then Alabama, and then Washington. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to still be infractions. Like, there's going to be an extra game or two suspension just on the whole hamburger and COVID infractions. There's going to be an extra game or two suspension. Right? They self-imposed 3. They were debating 3 or 4. They couldn't settle. So he's going to get at least 2 games or a game or 2 suspension. And then who knows what's going to happen with the sign-stealing scandal, even though I think the sign-stealing scandal was grossly overblown. But you know that Harbaugh, just the last 2 years, even before the national championship, he did a 12-hour interview with the Vikings. You know, you may interview for a job that you know you're not going to take, but you're not sitting in that interview for 12 hours if you didn't want it. And last year, the Broncos wouldn't hire him, whatever the reasons were, the Panthers wouldn't hire him. But now with Belichick and Carroll becoming available, even though they're significantly older, they've been in the NFL just as recent as last year. Harbaugh hasn't been in the NFL in quite some time. Now, I still think Jim Harbaugh's a phenomenal head coach. I still think Jim Harbaugh will go right back to the NFL and make a team a Super Bowl contender instantly. But I wonder for teams like the Raiders, I wonder for teams like the Chargers, you know, do they say, I'm going to go get Pete Carroll? Like, will the Raiders go get Pete Carroll? Will the Chargers go get Bill Belichick? Because Belichick, we know, is available. And I don't think the Seahawks are going to block Pete Carroll from becoming a head coach just because they came up with this idea, oh, we'll put you up in the front office in some advisory role. So, like, if I said to make some rough predictions right now, when you get to some of the names available, Belichick, Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, and Vrabel, I'm going to say Belichick to the Falcons. But I would not rule out the Cowboys. I think if the Cowboys lose this weekend, Belichick's going to the Cowboys. Depending on how they, and I don't think they'll lose this weekend, but depending on if they lose in the second round and how they lose in the second round, I would also open up that conversation a week from now after divisional round weekend. But right now, I would say Belichick to the Falcons because I think Arthur Blank is desperate. You know, that division's not good. Carolina sucks. The Saints are, they're not good. They could have won the division this year. And Tampa Bay, they just won the division at 9-8. I don't think anyone's intimidated by Tampa Bay, who could beat the Eagles this weekend. But I think you have enough pieces in Atlanta, not saying to win a Super Bowl, but you got Bijan Robinson, you got Tyler Allgeier, you got Drake London. You know, you go sign like Kirk Cousins. You know, Belichick go win 10, 11 games there next year. He could easily. So I think Belichick to the Falcons. I'm still going to say Harbaugh to the Chargers. But you know what? I could see Pete Carroll landing in the Chargers now. You know, I don't think it's that far-fetched. You need a guy that is ready to win now. Harbaugh could easily do it. But Pete Carroll's had a lot of success for many years. The Chargers need like an immediate face of that franchise to save Justin Herbert too. You know, I could see it with Pete. I could. But I'll go Harbaugh with the Chargers. Vrabel, I think, lands in New England. I'm going to say Antonio Pierce is back with the Raiders. And you know what it is with Pete? I think he wants a job. But, like, you got to go to the Commanders? No. You got to go to Carolina where David Tepper's going to be a royal pain in the ass? No. You know, you're not going to Tennessee. That's a terrible job. Maybe Pete says, I'll wait a year. Maybe that's what he'll do. I'll wait a year. You know, I know he's 72, but he's not an old 72. And next year, he'd be the number one most attractive name on the market. Like, right now, you could make a case that Belichick will be more attractive than Pete Carroll. Harbaugh will be more attractive than Pete Carroll. You can even make the case because of his age and how young he is that Vrabel could be more attractive than Pete Carroll. So when you have all these guys gunning for jobs, you know, maybe Pete waits a year. But if there's a team that offers Pete, I think he'll take the job. And you know what? I don't think the guy's a bad coach. You know, the decision in Seattle, I don't like it. And I do think Dan Quinn's going to wind up there in Seattle. But I don't like this. It's still a day later, and we've now had a full 24 hours to digest it. I didn't like it in the moment, and I still don't like it now. I didn't think it was necessary. I think he could have got another year, and now you wonder, on this hire, will this guy be able to lead the Seahawks back to the playoffs? So I feel good about Belichick to the Falcons. I feel good about Harbaugh to the Chargers. I feel good about Vrabel to New England. Pete, I think, becomes maybe not the best name, but the most intriguing name. Like, there are destinations where I can envision right now Harbaugh. There are destinations where I can envision Belichick and narrow them down, where I could envision Mike Vrabel. But when it comes to Pete, I'm like, huh. I know he's a great coach, but there just hasn't been a name. Like, there's been something you could guess, but there hasn't been a name where I could envision it yet. And also, the teams that are in the playoffs right now, like I talked about, you know, the Cowboys. We've talked about the Eagles, right? Like, who knows what happens after this weekend. But when you get guys available like Belichick and Carroll and the clout that they have in this league, it's going to make a lot of teams reconsider things. It's going to make a lot of teams say, huh, maybe we weren't thinking about firing our guy. Maybe we're 50-50, but now we're going to lean more to getting rid of him. And then we're going to go heavily pursue either Belichick or Cal, especially with teams that are ready to win now. Because it's no, you know, we go wait 3-4 years and build it up. No, those coaches are ready to win now. And they've won a lot in this league. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll come on back. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The new year is the perfect time to start building credit scores, because when your credit scores increase, your opportunities do too, like possible loan approvals and lower interest rates. Chime makes it easier to help build your credit with a secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. You can use Credit Builder everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Chime helps you build your credit scores safely by using your own money to make everyday purchases and on-time payments. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a $200 qualifying direct deposit. And don't stress, there's no annual fee or credit check required to apply and get started. Start building your credit history and finding new opportunities with a secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast, the NFL live, and the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. So I've always said Bill Belichick has an underrated sense of humor. I remember during the Deflategate press conference, he did the Mona Lisa veto line of the whole football scandal that did go on. So I'm watching this press conference, which it was the shortest press conference ever because Belichick speaks. It's maybe 3 minutes max, no questions. Then Robert Kraft speaks, gives about like a 2 minute statement. Then they hug. And right, you fade the screen to black and Belichick and Kraft walk away. And then Kraft reappears for the encore where you actually answer some questions, which was a few hours later. But let's listen up to the hoodie Bill Belichick, who was trying a little stand-up comedy, starting off this press conference with a joke about Tebow time.
All right, morning. Seen this many cameras since we signed Tebow.
I wonder how he thought of that. Like, Samter, do you think that was an in-the-moment? He gets out there, he sees all those cameras. He's like, I haven't seen this many cameras since Tebow. Or was it, I'm going to go out there with some material and try to lighten up the mood a little bit?
I think that he probably went into it knowing, like, over the past few years, probably talking privately all the time, yeah, whether to his friends or to other media members, just about how much of a media frenzy the Tebow thing was. And it's also possible that maybe talking with Kraft over the past couple days, they were talking about some of the mistakes or some of the things that they shouldn't have done, and maybe Tebow's name came up and it was front of mind.
I don't think Tebow was a mistake.
But
it was just
But I
whatever.
Don't think Belichick's sitting there thinking like, all right, let me think of some good zingers to start this press conference off. I think that, you know, Tebow was just front of mind or that specific thing, and then when he saw it, it just popped up there.
You know, I haven't seen this many cameras since, you know, we signed Tebow with the organization.
Let's go to Bill Belichick. I didn't have this on my bingo card. Bill Belichick thanked the media. Listen up.
To the media, for you guys, I don't know that anybody's gotten more coverage than I have or we have in the past 24 years. I meet with you guys a lot. I respect what you do. You know, you're a voice to the fans. And even though we don't always see eye to eye all the time, most of the time, but not all the time, I do respect what you do.
Do you hear the cameras, by the way, in the background? I don't know. Maybe this isn't very 2024. Does anyone care about the actual photos of Belichick at the podium? Like, I get it for the newspapers, right? Team website, things like that. But I feel like now all people care about is the video. But hearing the actual cameras just click, 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 click. It kind of seems a little bit out of place, if you ask me. I thought this was the best part of the press conference. And I thought it was the one part where Belichick was about to cry. And if we saw Belichick, like Pete Carroll crying, no one's surprised. Like Pete Carroll's kind of like Dick Vermeil, I feel like. He'll cry over anything, right? He's an emotional guy. Belichick is like this villain, Darth Vader kind of guy, right? Always kind of looks a little bit evil. Looks like he has no soul. When he smiles, it's like, oh my goodness gracious, this guy actually just cracked a smile. But Belichick got a little emotional when talking about the fans.
You know, the fans here are amazing. You know, there's so many memories of the fans, the send-offs, the parades, the Sundays, the letters of support, the, you know, seeing the fans, you know, away from here, you know, at a gas station or a grocery store, or, you know, where you bump into them. Patriot fans here, and not just in New England, but they extend nationally and even internationally as I've traveled. It's amazing how far the arm reaches. We saw that this year in Germany. So so appreciative of the fans for all the support they've given me.
I wonder what Bill Belichick does at a gas station outside of fill up his car. Like if he goes into the gas station, Santer, but what kind of snack do you think Belichick is grabbing?
Oh, he's definitely a beef jerky guy.
Yeah, I would say that at first, too. I could also see him being a big trail mix guy, too.
Yeah, maybe, but and if when I say beef jerky, he's not getting like the all natural organic. He's getting the Slim Jims. Oh. He's pulling out like a spicy step into a Slim Jim, Macho Man Randy Savage style.
I could also see him being a Krispy Kreme donut guy. Too.
Yeah,
I know Dunkin' Donuts is big up in Boston.
Yeah,
so maybe
I can see
it's
him
Dunkin'
donut
Donuts.
Guy. Yeah,
yeah, but I can see him being a big like Boston cream donut kind.
Oh,
kind
Boston
of guy.
Cream is so good.
Or just maybe like a chocolate glazed donut. Yeah, I can see Belichick
with his face on it, maybe.
Go Pats.
Or Brady's face. He gets to eat Brady's head.
I don't know about that one. I think he'd be a little bit annoyed that his face wasn't on the donut. I could also see him eating some munchkins too. Belichick could be a big munchkin guy. I love munchkins, by the way. Yeah, you could go. I could eat about like 40 munchkins if I needed to. They are phenomenal. So let me ask you this: two things, Samter. Well, this isn't what I was going to ask you, but would you consider yourself someone that's a little bit petty? Like, I think like everyone has a little bit of pettiness in them, right?
I mean, I think everybody has a little bit, but I wouldn't consider myself overly petty by any means, no.
So the understanding of this is that Belichick still wanted to coach the team, but Kraft no longer wanted him to coach the team without... They never thought there was like a good resolution with all the changes. Would you have done this statement today if you were Belichick, or just say, hey, you want to fire me? I'm walking away. I'm not talking to the media.
No, I think that would have been overly petty. He's had too much time in New England, and he's too respected, beloved, and
didn't take any questions.
Historic there. Yeah, but at the end of the day, he got to go up there. He got to thank who he wants to thank, and he didn't have to worry about any of the hard questions. I think if he didn't show up, that would have been a level of petty that would have been beneath him.
You know my first question would have been today, if there was questions? Hey, Bill. Zach Gelb here, CBS Sports Radio. Good to see you. Thanks so much for all you've done. Just wondered, what's your New Year's resolution this year?
Less Slim Jim.
Do you remember the reporter a few years ago? It was like after a playoff game. He was like, Bill, what's your New Year's resolution this year? So it's an all-time classic clip. The other thing, too, Nick Saban. I don't know. The day after I'm retiring, I ain't showing up at 7 in the morning. Even if you're trying to help the team in the next transition. Like, let's say we have a long enough run here at CBS Sports Radio where, like, you know, radio's still around for years and years to come, and I'm ready to retire. If I retire, I don't think I'm coming in the next day to work early in the morning if they ask me, oh, we want you to be on the advisory committee to try to select the new talk show host here at CBS Sports Radio. So I'm out of here. You guys have enough intelligent minds here. You guys figure it out yourself. Let's go to one more comment from Bill Belichick. His final comment, says the head coach of the New England Patriots.
There's so many fond memories and thoughts that I, you know, think about the Patriots, and I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here, but at this time, you know, we're gonna move on, and I look forward and excited for the future, but always very, very appreciative of the opportunity here, the support here, and. You know, what you've done for me. Thank you.
Is there a chance Belichick's not coaching next year? Because they gave up the vibe today. Kraft even said it, right? It's going to pain him to see him with a cutoff hoodie somewhere else. Is there any chance that Belichick's not coaching somewhere next season?
I think the only way, like, I don't think Belichick's going to just take any job, right? I read that the Commanders are not interested in Belichick.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But, like, let's say it's a job that he's just not interested. I don't think he's just going to take a job just to have a job. The Falcons could work for him. I don't think he would take the Titans job. I think he has to take it. I don't think he'd take the Carolina job.
No, not with that Bosa.
No, I don't think that. So I think if, like, let's say the Chargers end up going with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And the Raiders go with, you know, Pierce, and the Falcons find somebody else.
I don't think the Raiders are going to, like, after they just brought in McDaniels, and that was a disaster. I know Belichick is obviously in a totally different class than McDaniels, but since McDaniels is a Belichick guy, I have a tough time seeing the Raiders going with Belichick. I think it's between three teams. I really do. I think it's between the Chargers, the Falcons, and then if the Cowboy job becomes available. Those are the three teams that I could see. Anyway, let's keep it moving and grooving here. Let's go to Robert Kraft. He was asked, did they consider keeping Belichick but taking away some of his roles and then just making him focus only on being the head coach?
Yeah, we've thought about that, but I've had experience running different businesses and trying to develop a team. And think about it, when you have someone like Bill who's had control over every decision, to then take some of that power away and give it to someone else. Accountability is important to me in every one of our companies. And where he had the responsibility and then someone else takes it, it's going to set up confusion and, you know, well, it was his pick and that was a bad pick, you know, or he didn't play him right, or, you know, it just, it wouldn't work, in my opinion.
I think it's fair to say Bill Belichick is still a great coach. Bill Belichick, the GM, the roster builder, was not good. He was bad as of late. So if you bring someone in, I don't think even if Bill knew that person, he would respect that person because it would be a slight at Bill that you're taking away his power. That I agree with Robert Kraft. I thought it would have been a bleep show if they ended up doing it. And I think it's the right decision to move on. It was just time. Pete Carroll, on his meeting with the front office after he was dismissed as the head coach and now is getting moved into some advisory role, which I think is a bunch of bullcrap.
Since our last game, I had a couple chances to talk. And first, I shared my feelings about our team and about the organization and representing the 12s and my intentions of staying with the Hawks, man. And that was true to the bone. And I want to make sure that that's clear as things have shifted so quickly in most people's perspective.
You know, I don't feel bad for Belichick with what happened today. You know, Saban obviously made his own decision too. You hear the pain in Pete Carroll's voice when he speaks. You know, Saban thought it was time. We'll hear from Saban in just a second. Belichick, I think he also thought it was, like, even though he probably preferred to stay, but once it was presented how he could potentially say, I think he was like kind of good with going elsewhere too. But with Pete Carroll, it just seems like he got screwed here. It really does. This is Pete Carroll getting very emotional when he thanked his wife, obviously. Here you go. Here's Pete Carroll.
The angel in my life. This is worth crying for. Glenn, that nobody would ever understand how significant she'd been through all of the stuff that we've been through, and how important she is. She's just been the angel in my life, and I owe you everything.
That's awesome. That really is awesome. Yeah, I know Belichick's not married. Yeah, he just broke up with his girlfriend, longtime girlfriend Linda Holiday. But could you imagine Belichick ever breaking down like that, crying at the podium? That would be something. I want to see Bill Belichick cry once. When just like talking about family or talking about football, something like that. Here is Nick Saban. He did an interview today, a sit down with ESPN's Reese Davis on why he chose now was the time to retire.
Once you're a coach, you think you're going to be a coach forever. But I actually thought that in hiring coaches, recruiting players, that my age started to become a little bit of an issue. People wanted assurances that I would be here for 3 years, 5 years, whatever, and that got harder and harder for me to be honest about. And to be honest, this last season was grueling. It was a real grind for us to come from where we started to where we got to. Took a little more out of me than usual. And can you do this the way you want to do it? Can you do it the way you've always done it? And if I couldn't make a commitment to do that in the future, the way I think I have to do it, I thought maybe this was the right time based on those two sets of circumstances.
It sounds a lot like when Roy Williams walked away, where there was really not a lot of fanfare, and he talked about being tired too, and he just felt like he was a little bit different. That's the comparison. And we've seen a lot of legendary coaches walk away recently. Saban, Roy Williams, Coach K wanted all the attention. You know, he deserves it, but he was an attention whore at the end. It was, like, kind of insufferable at some points.
But that wasn't Coach K's fault. He didn't go out there doing anything. He just said, I'm going to retire, and the media went crazy wanting to cover him. It wasn't like Coach K was out
sarcastic?
There doing stuff.
You being serious?
Yeah. Coach K wasn't out there doing all this crazy stuff.
He just wanted to get stroke for a year.
You know what? A lot of legends retire, and they announce that they're going to retire. And a lot of coaches, especially in college, when they do it, it gives the recruits and the recruiting
help. You actually think Coach K didn't enjoy everything that happened?
I'm not saying that he didn't enjoy it.
He wanted that.
I'm sure he enjoyed it.
And you're allowed to do that when you're a
legend.
Just
like David Ortiz, I'm sure, enjoyed his farewell tours and getting gifts at every stop that he went to. Mm-hmm. Not that he deserved it because he's a cheater, but whatever.
Oh, stop. Stop.
But at the end of the day,
just stop.
Just because Coach K deserved it or enjoyed it doesn't mean that he was like insufferable through the process. He just said, hey, I'm going to retire. The media lost their mind because it's Coach K going away.
No.
And the media was the one who made it insufferable.
You can blame the media for a lot. Not Coach K wanting to be an attention whore and get all the attention. Give me a
break. Here's a question. If you're a recruit, would you rather a coach recruit you and you, then
you think that's
retire,
what Coach K was thinking about?
Or, well, when you're recruiting players, I'm sure that it comes into mind. Stop. We just heard Saban say that exact thing. Mm-hmm. He had players saying they wanted guarantees that he'd be there for 3 or 5 years. So if you have a coach who's like, hey, come play for me next year. Oh, by the way, I'm retiring a week later. I would rather say, hey, listen, I'm going to retire next year. But if you come, especially in college basketball where you're one and done, you can play for me for one more year and then boom, we're done. I'd rather that than a coach recruit me and then leave.
I'm going to be a big boy here. I'm just going to agree to disagree. You see it one way. You know, I know you got new glasses. Maybe the vision isn't working right now. I see it another way.
Oh, I'm seeing 2040, baby.
Yeah, he got some big glasses on today. You make Axe glasses look small. You know, you do.
Glasses aren't big.
No, I'm not saying you have big glasses, but like you have a little bit of a bigger eyewear.
No, he has a thick frame. They're not big glasses. They're just a thick frame, which is stylish.
I thought this was Ringo Starr walking in today.
Listen,
I belong
in a 70s nightclub.
Elton.
Yeah. There you go. Sit me down at a piano with a boa.
Oh, jeez. I still can't believe that you actually... It was the kindness of Coach K. He announced his retirement for a year.
I'm not saying
that's
his kindness.
Because he's
looking
out for the recruits.
I just have no issue with a legend of any sport announcing
either.
They're retiring at the end of the season. I have no issue with that. Mm-hmm. And how the media handles it is up to the media. It's not the coach's fault that the media goes crazy over stuff.
Yeah, but Coach K wanted that attention. Because he could have said this to recruits, blah, 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 and then at the end of the year, I'm retiring, here's a little letter, walk off.
You're telling me he's going to say it to recruits, and some recruit decides to go to UNC, is he going to leak that to the world?
How many times has he lied to recruits before, anyway? Come on, why'd you stop now? Give me a break. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I'll just make, I'll make a point about Nick Saban. I think two things why Nick Saban is walking away. We'll discuss that on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just got a text message from my father about your glasses. He's watching on YouTube.
He's jealous. He wants them.
He says you look like a praying mantis with those glasses on.
I can't unsee that.
Alrighty. We will take a timeout. Standing by with
He's green with envy.
Well, my father sometimes looks like Shrek, so that's fine. Here's the latest CBS Sports Radio update with the always stylish, the great Rich Ackerman.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and this is my show. My friends come on, and you know them. We talk about the sports you care about, football, and now basketball, too, though we don't really pay attention until later in the year, and the absurdity that is our lives. Line etiquette at your local pharmacy, the current phase of the moon, the importance of talking to a human being on the phone, and most importantly, the power of a box of that. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, wrapping up shop. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So now it's easy to do so. When you look back at someone like Nick Saban retiring and you go, oh, maybe we should have seen signs to this. But I remember saying this in the moment, and I just want to bring it up now. Now, let me be clear. I never predicted this year that Nick Saban was walking away after this season. I give credit to Maggie Gray, who after the Rose Bowl, she tweeted out that she thought that was going to be it for Nick Saban. She just had some feeling. So maybe Maggie Gray's got some college football sources that we're not made aware of. So maybe Samter and Stu would have a better idea than me because they worked with Maggie for so many years. But it was a good tweet, good instinct by one Maggie Gray. So congratulations to her. You know, sometimes you put those tweets out there and they end up being right. Maggie definitely was on the right side of that one. But I go back to after the Texas game. And you look at the whole situation with Jalen Milroe, the quarterback at Alabama. And when you went into that USF game, how quickly they pulled the plug on Jalen Milroe. You know, just at that moment in that time, how going into South Florida, they didn't start him after losing to Texas. I'm like, why did you name that guy the starting quarterback then? Like, why did you name him the starting quarterback when the season started and after blowing out Middle Tennessee, which is expected, and you lose to Texas by 10, when he was your best option at quarterback and you had nothing else behind him, why would you pull the rug out from underneath Jalen Milroe after that USF game. And then it was right after the USF game, they go back to him and play him up against Ole Miss. Like, it just never made sense to me. And I remember saying when they went back to Milroe before that Ole Miss game, which they actually won 24-10, I said to myself, that was the first time in his history at Alabama that Nick Saban heard the outside noise. For all those years where he lectured us on rat poison and ignoring the noise, whether it was positive or negative, he never let the outside noise affect him in decision-making. But it was so crazy and so wild when you're living in a world where after every loss is this the death of the Alabama dynasty? You know, give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. And it just gets so insufferable because there's a certain standard where I think he panicked and he said, I got to bench Milroe. And that's like the one sign that something was different with Saban. But then he completely turns it around. The defense was dominant. Milroe found some magic the rest of the way. And they end up getting to the SEC title game, winning the SEC title game after a crazy Iron Bowl, which already in the SEC title game. And they beat Georgia, who was thought to be the best team in the country. And yeah, they lost to Michigan. Yeah, it was a bad play call at the end. But, you know, I can't really crush them on the fourth down play when you have a bad snap. And I think just all hell broke loose after that and there was panic by Jalen Milroe. But it's that decision where if you look back at everything this year, and I'm not saying it makes you say, aha, you know, we should have seen this coming. But it was the one time where Saban follows such a straight path and he's so meticulous and he's so well calculated and he's so well thought out. Where it was the one time he deviated from just that stoic, straight way of walking. You know, every step he takes, every little baby step he takes, it's calculated. And just how quick and rash of a decision and hasty of a decision that was to bench Milroe two games after the start of the season. Then after one game, you go back to him. It was like, something was up. But when you turn it around and you go from being 1-1 to then 12-1 and you win the SEC and you're in the Rose Bowl where you lose to Michigan in overtime, you know, I didn't feel like when he was walking off the field that was going to be it for him. Now, there were moments this year where maybe it was, okay, he's not going to get through the entirety of that last contract extension. And he was going to, and you know, retirement is not that far off. But I never thought it was going to be after this season. So I look back at that isolated moment of benching Milroe. And maybe I'm looking too much into it, but it was that one time where I was just like, something doesn't seem right. Something seems off. And something seems different about Nick Saban. I think the great coaches know when it's time. Like, sometimes coaches hang on way too long, like Jim Boeheim. You know, he really did a damage to his legacy. You want to talk about a coach doing damage? The way that he just treated people and how arrogant he was and how he thought he did no wrong. And eventually it was like, okay, you got to go. And that's it. And for Saban, you know, he's in a different realm than Jim Boeheim. And it's nothing against Jim Boeheim. He's a great coach. But for Saban, like, when you're the king, I think he just kind of thought, okay, you know, this is a genuinely positive season. Even saw 2 years ago when they lost in the championship game with Will Anderson and also Bryce Young. You're like, oh, these guys are going to be back this year. I'm so proud of these guys. Like, you don't usually hear that from Saban in a loss when the standard is it's championship or bust. So you saw a little bit at times of a softer side to Nick Saban, really, I thought, the last 2-3 years, even though he gets portrayed the total opposite way. Where maybe there were some signs, and maybe it was easier to pick up on the trail that he was leaving, the breadcrumb trail that he was leaving, where we probably could have scooped it up and realized that this day wasn't that far off as the way that it was getting perceived to be. But, hey, the last day, Carroll done in Seattle as the head coach, Saban done in Alabama as the head coach, and Bill Belichick done in New England as the head coach. The future of Carroll, intriguing. The future of Belichick, intriguing. And as for Nick Saban, what, he's going to ESPN probably, be in College Game Day? I would probably, like, going to take over for Lee Corso, I would think, is probably the move. Him and McAfee, they have that relationship.
Nah, you can't get rid of Lee.
No, okay, you know. I love Lee Corso.
Who doesn't love Lee Corso?
It's time, all right? And even so, you could have Lee Corso sit there, and Saban could sit right next to him, and eventually you phase Lee Corso out.
How great would that be? Urban Meyer on Fox and Saban on ESPN. That would just be dueling banjos right there.
Yeah, well, that Fox show's gotten good. It's done a dent into the brand of college
games.
Some big
names and some interesting guys.
Yeah, and that's even after losing Reggie Bush. Like, they lost Reggie Bush. Mark Ingram is you knew he was going to be a star when he was playing, but he's a star on television. I like Brady Quinn. I like Matt Leinart as well. But I enjoy both of those shows. But yeah, you know you're getting Saban. You know you're getting Saban, right? It's just going to happen. All righty. Praying Mantis, we'll see you tomorrow. Stuart Kovacs as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Big thanks to Christian Fourier, Greg McElroy, each and every one of you. Big Football Friday tomorrow. Hell yeah, it's Wild Card Weekend coming up. Let's not forget about that. We'll talk to you manana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus, just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, and this is my show. My friends come on, and you know them. We talk about the sports you care about, football, and now basketball, too, though we don't really pay attention until later in the year and the absurdity that is our lives. Line etiquette at your local pharmacy, the current phase of the moon, the importance of talking to a human being on the phone, and most importantly, the power of a box of that. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Allbirds' new Wool Runner 2, redesigned to redefine comfort. Extra cushioning offers a plush ride, and premium materials deliver a cozy fit. Go to Allbirds.com and use code FRESH24 for a free pair of socks with purchase today.